And a world exclusive in conversation with President Ronald Reagan's top secret agent, Ambassador Lee Emile Wanta, and his official biographer, Marilyn Barnwall, and more of Marilyn's words. It's not an easy task to write about a covert intelligence operative. The entire purpose of such a person's life is secrecy. Finding facts that support the story can be difficult. I know, because I've spent years digging them up, researching them, and either abandoning them or trying to figure out just where in this complicated story they belong. Here are some things to keep in mind as you read this book. This is the man who, by bringing down the Soviet Union ruble, caused the Iron Curtain and the Berlin Wall to come tumbling down. This is the man who generated the largest fortune ever amassed by one person with the intent of giving almost all of it to his country, to America. Leo Wanta created a $27.5 trillion fortune and wants to give $23 trillion of it to you. To pay off the irresponsible debt of the Federal Reserve and numerous corrupt politicians, debt that was created as a means to tear down our republic. You may hear reference to the Wanta-Reagan-Mitterrand protocols. Those funds represent money Wanta has personally agreed to pay from his own funds, the $4.5 trillion he earned in contract agreements with the United States government for risking his life day to day for so many years in service to his government. He wasn't paid a salary. He worked by contract agreement, and the $4.5 trillion represents funds due him for 30 years of very dangerous work. From that sum, Wanta has agreed to pay billions of dollars to several European nations. Most notably, $30 billion goes to the Russian Federation. Other nations involved in the protocols include $5 billion each to the governments of Canada, France, Germany, Greece, Italy, Mexico, and Spain. The protocols will settle the rocky financial markets so close to failure in Europe, and that, in turn, will go a long ways towards settling the markets of the United States. The point is, when he served as President Ronald Reagan's personal intelligence coordinator, Leo Wanta promised Reagan he would bring down the Soviet Union ruble, which he did, and he would save the profits from the endeavor to pay America out of debt when the overspending crooks in government put the nation into bankruptcy. That would be now. More of my conversation with Leo Emile Wanta, Marilyn Barnwall, and your calls when Coast to Coast continues right after this. Ambassador Leo Emile Wanta stays with us along with his official biographer, Marilyn Barnwall. And before we take calls, and the lines are full, if you've got a line, hold on to it, and we'll try to work through as many calls as we can. But let me ask you this, and Marilyn and Lee, whoever you know wants to field this question, just jump right in. I'm thinking that this Title 18 type of corporation that was set up under Reagan's executive order, if that's still operational, there could be hundreds of Leo Wantas out there running these corporations. And if you could almost single-handedly yourself, Leo, bring down the Soviet economy with the proceeds from this these Section 18 companies, there could be other rogue elements, other rogue versions of Leo Wanta out there doing it to the United States.
I have no doubt of that.
Yeah, and in fact, you know, that was, I probably should answer that to some degree. Lee's obviously welcome to, but that because that was my conclusion. That was something that was my opinion, and it was not something that was Lee's opinion or that he and I had talked about. But as I looked at that and I looked at the number, it's Title 18, Section 6 companies that that Lee had formulated and had created these huge profits from. And that really what happened when the People's Bank of China, wire transferred or swift wire transferred an inland remittance to Lee to his Bank of America account in Richmond, Virginia, and it was removed and disappeared down a black hole. What that did was said to all those other people, don't bring your money back into the United States, because if you do, the government's going to take it.
So is it fair to say that this is the way now that wars are being waged, and maybe that you set the template during the final days of the Cold War, Lee? But is this the way wars are fought now, essentially currency wars behind the stage, behind the, you know, backstage?
Well, yeah, because they don't trust us anymore. We had a general agreement of cooperation between the Russian Federation, New Republic, which represented the United States, and the Russian Federation represented all their satellites and everybody else, signed by Gorbachev, got $10 billion, and he retired to the Gorbachev Foundation in Geneva and the Presidio in California. Yeltsin appointed Yegor Gaidar to be, the vice chairman of RUSS, and I'm the vice chairman of RUSS on behalf of the United States, which means we own a lot of property, we collectively, in the Russian Federation. And we agree we're not going to provoke, we're not going to steal, we're not going to lie, we're not going to create problems between our countries. And the first thing we got now, we're provoking trouble in Syria with our own money, and we're provoking trouble in the Ukraine, because under the General Agreement on Cooperation, which I believe is in the book, if not, we can send you a copy, we're supposed to get along with everybody. And the politicians don't care, because they take the position, well, that was the Reagan administration, who cares? Well, I care, because that was an agreement. It was a special agreement to have peace between the Soviet Union, now called the Russian Federation, and the United States, which is a constitutional republic and not some banana republic. It was a good deal. Reagan was happy. I was happy. Casey was happy. Everybody's happy. And we blew it. They don't trust us anymore. They know that the multinationals are trying to beat them up. And the military-industrial complex, everybody needs a boogeyman out there. We cannot afford a boogeyman. We got rid of that boogeyman when we destabilized the Soviet Union. It was a paper war. No shots were fired. Everybody was happy, and the Soviet Union left us, and the Russian Federation had a new lease on life. And we became the fools by letting the politicians say, I don't care what Reagan did. That was his administration. This is a new life, the new world order. That's bogus. That's unlawful and stupid and immature.
Well, I don't want to digress, too much and go down this road, but I just find it interesting the way that Vladimir Putin has been demonized and portrayed as another Adolf Hitler. And I'm wondering how we might react if, let's say, for example, the tables were turned. And the Russians were trying to put, nuclear missiles in Guatemala or Cuba. Oh, wait a minute. We already suffered through that.
We already went past that one.
Yeah.
All right. Let's go to the wild card line and say hello to Lon Gibby in Spokane, Washington. Lon, welcome to Coast to Coast.
Hi, Richard. How are you?
Well, thank you, sir.
Lon Gibby, welcome. I am so glad to hear your name. Richard, Lon Gibby is the president of a company that is taking the biography of Lee Wanta and turning it into a documentary film. Thanks for calling, Lon. I am so happy you did.
You bet. I've really enjoyed the conversation, and it's been you guys have been very focused, and I thought done a great job explaining it.
All right, Lana, well, I appreciate you joining us. And did you have a question or comment? Well, first of all, before you when is this documentary set to be released?
Well, our goal is to get it out, in time for the election. And I'd like to just say, it's an honor for me. I'm a storyteller, a documentarian, produced documentaries on a lot of different subjects, including mountain climbing and as well as the Vietnam War. And I'm really interested in seeing this get out as soon as possible, because it's such a great story. It's very positive if you consider, where this could lead to and how it could affect our country. It can make a major a positive difference in our future for all our future generations here in our country, and it also affect other countries as well in a positive way. So I'm very excited to tell a story and get it out. And we've got a lot of support. Different organizations are willing to help us and with getting some of the content that we need. And the content has to be accurate. It's got to be told unbiased, in an unbiased way, and with no hidden agenda. And that's what we intend to do. We just want it to be the truth.
Very dangerous subject material here, Lon. Any obstacles in getting a documentary about this story distributed?
Well, you know, the nice thing about it is Marilyn Barnwell just worked her heart out to get all of this stuff together. It's already public knowledge. Anybody could read this material. It's all available, and the links behind it. So all we're doing is basically using her research as a foundation, and then just adding some great visual content. I was in the Soviet Union in 1988, the same time Lee was there producing a documentary it was a culinary exchange between our two countries where a group of food professionals were there, and it was to help join our countries together, and glasnost and perestroika. And I saw what it was like in the Soviet Union during that time period when everything was changing, and we captured about 40 hours of very unique footage that will be helpful to add B-roll to make this very interesting. So we just want it to be interesting and you know, visuals to back it up. And, of course, Marilyn has done the job of putting together the content, which is the foundation for the documentary, which again, is available to anybody. So it's not a dangerous subject because it's really out there. Anybody could read it. We just want to put it together in a format that people can enjoy because people, you know, like video now. It's the preferred way of getting information. Video is growing on the internet as well. As you know, 70% of all content comes video.
What's it going to be called, Lon?
It's Eagle One to Wanta is the title of it. And Eagle One is the president's code name and what he was known as, and to Wanta. And, of course, you're meeting Wanta tonight, which is exciting.
Yeah. Absolutely. Listen, Lon, we look forward to seeing Eagle One to Wanta. And is there a website where people can find out more about the documentary or perhaps even view a trailer or something?
Well, we have a trailer in production right now and with some very selected information that we have. And it'll be available on a website shortly. And we just haven't announced that yet. So you're one of the first to hear about it.
I appreciate that. We'll be standing by and awaiting more details on Eagle One to Wanta. Lon Gibby, filmmaker from Spokane, Washington. Thank you for that, Lon.
Thank you very much. Appreciate the time to be with you.
He raised an interesting point, and that is the condition inside the newly minted Russian Federation after the Berlin Wall come tumbling down and the demise of the Soviet Empire. And rather than simply walk away with your ill-gotten gains, Lee, and allowing who were the Cold War enemy to suffer, you kind of pulled off a massive humanitarian mission with a lot of those profits. Tell me about that.
Well, we plan to give them $30 billion right back. We were going to rebuild. I'm the co-chair or vice chair. We both share, Jaeger, Dard, their former prime minister, and myself, to rebuild because they were going to bring in more ag, no more arms races. They were going to have the postal workers get involved in the military and ag production and teachers. It was just no more fighting, no more pitchforks.
But in the immediate aftermath, did you not use some of your money to import cheap American goods, things, staples that the people in Russia needed to to prevent starvation?
Well, we were doing that all the time. In fact, we had the contract for powder milk from Austria. The only meat contracts, we had to go through Warsaw because they had the distribution rights, apparently, and I wasn't going to object to that. And we had the halal chicken coming from the United States out there. We were going to build a Wonder Bread facility, ICC Continental Baking, and we had stuff going through Kimberly Clark and everything on feminine prep products and stuff of that nature. And we were trying to do everything. In fact, we sent them a tremendous amount of horses from Mexico. What they did with them, we have no idea. But we made the deal with them. We made a lot of deals with them. They were good people. And Putin is not. See, you have to understand. Putin was invited to go back to the Ukraine by the duly elected president. Whatever. But they were requested under the general agreement of cooperation to support the Ukraine because they were being attacked. And we know for a fact, and the Assistant Secretary of State, Victoria Nuland, went with Chevron and everything and a presentation how she bragged that she spent $5 billion of the U.S. taxpayers' money to rearrange Ukraine. We have no authority to rearrange Ukraine. Who are we?
We're Americans. We're not Ukrainians. Is that not a violation of the Boland Act?
Absolutely.
Yeah,
and they're paying for the protesters and the terrorists and giving them arms. And you got John McCain, which is really a strange. We ever released papers on him. You know, everybody wants to provoke wars. What for? For the multinational oil companies and the pipelines. Let the people do their own lives.
It's a pretty unsavory bunch that took part in that coup. When you talk about, you know, Svoboda and the right sector,
right.
This
it's
ultra right. I mean, many of these individuals are neo-Nazis,
yes.
And it's very disturbing that the West would be throwing their lot in with this rather unsavory bunch, to say the least.
Because nobody's in charge.
Let's say hello to Michael, east of the Rockies, calling from Virginia Beach, Virginia. Michael, welcome to Coast.
Thank you so much. First of all, I want to say you're the only person that's ever come to this microphone that could replace John B. Wells as an equal. Thank you for your wonderful, wonderful interviews. Ambassador Hunton, I know you won't want me to hang on. I am one of the greatest cross-examiners in the world. Here's the problem. You say you want $4.5 trillion for your years of suffering. Was that 30 years you said?
No.
I said that.
The Bank of China, People's Republic Bank of China, from my reserves in China, sent $4.5 trillion to the Bank of America in Richmond. I'm not asking for anything that I don't own. I'm the principal.
Okay, but you said for your 30 years of suffering, that comes
never,
out to 100.
Never said 30 years. I never even counted.
He did not say that. I did.
Okay,
number
okay.
one. And well, number two, basically.
Okay, well, let me please make my point and ask the question.
Okay.
Whatever the years were, if it was 30, whether it was more or less, it doesn't matter. If it was 30, it's $150 billion a year. Which you want to be paid, I happen to know prisoners of war here in the Hampton Roads area who suffered tremendously in several wars. Now, they aren't getting anywhere near $150 billion a year for their suffering, but I'm sure they suffered a whole lot more than you did. Now, here's the
where do
problem.
You get $150 billion a year I'm getting? That was what I needed for the trust to purchase rubles and exchange rubles.
Your payback for your suffering, you said, is this $4.5 trillion. I heard you say it, and I take
that's
it.
That's what I earned from my share of my production.
The problem here is...
Well, Michael, I think there's an important distinction.
From a total lack of understanding of anything, that this was a transfer that was done as a result of a court order by Judge Gerald Bruce Lee, who told Ambassador Wanta to liquidate corporations, which he did.
I understand that perfectly.
And
$4.5
trillion of that money from the liquidation of Lee Wanta's corporations was Swiftwire transferred to Ambassador Wanta. It was his money, and he was doing precisely what he was ordered by the court to do.
His own testimony tells us that it wasn't his money because he said that you can't take money from the people of the United States without a note, without some instruments for payback. He has produced nothing of that kind. He is in the same category of crook as the people that he's accusing. And I want to talk to this man after the break so we can get some serious questioning in here. And not give him the cover-up that he's looking for.
All right, Michael, you've said your piece. Now let's take a time out. When we come back, excuse me, I'll have Lee address that directly, and then we'll move on. You're not going to monopolize the program. There are other people calling in. You've raised some questions. They will be addressed on the other side. More of my conversation with Lee Emile Wanta and Marilyn Barnwell when Coast to Coast continues after this. After a rather inflammatory call from Michael in Virginia Beach, And this is a short segment before we head on into another break. But Lee, obviously, I need you to give you the opportunity to respond.
Richard, I'd like to say something first.
Please,
because
Marilyn,
from my
please.
Perspective, this guy's a plant. This guy sounds like a CIA disinformation expert who subscribes to the liberal progressive philosophy of if you can't find anything wrong with the story and all the documentation is in place, attack the individual. And that Lee can say what he wants to, but I had to say that.
All right, Lee, go ahead.
I would say if that Michael is suggesting that I don't repatriate the money because I'm a lawful resident of Austria since June 1988, I support my country, my fellow Americans. If I want to give everything to Austria, I would have these occasions would never have started. I would have just been quietly being in Vienna, Austria, a big home, and forget about the United States. I can't do that. I have my family here. I have my grandkids. And I have my friends. And Reagan preached over and over. He supported our fellow Americans. And I don't want to stay in Austria and not pay U.S. taxes. I'm an American. Since 1940. Why should I have to move?
He seemed to be implying that that $4.5 trillion, which was wired to the Bank of America, that somehow, you know, you were taking that as salary, but it couldn't be salary because you weren't working for the CIA.
Correct.
Those are your assets, and I don't know if it's a bit of class envy on his part or what, but, I mean, you would be entitled to that money, but your intention...
Because you already ruled I'm entitled to it.
Right.
Well, I mean, the fact that the intent with the $4.5 trillion was to pay $1.575 trillion in taxes, number one, and number two, to build a national high-speed rail system for the American people with no tax dollars involved, totally makes what he says ridiculous, number one. And number two, calling with quotes that weren't quotes at all. I heard you say that. No, he didn't. Lee did not say that. Didn't even say it.
And we're talking 2 million jobs, and all the veterans are very much involved.
That's right.
We have all the details worked out to start pronto. Started this in 1995, and I'm still waiting to get started.
Well, let me ask you one quick question, and then we'll head into a break and come back and take some calls. What is the likelihood? I mean, what are you doing now in terms of trying to get that money repatriated? What is the likelihood that that's going to happen within your lifetime, Lee?
Very good. Very good indeed. The only thing is, I agree with Judge Lee to pay 35%. Repatriation tax could be between 5 and 10. Am I objecting? No. 35% to get this settled was fine with me. Other people repatriate money at 5 and 10%. Corporations don't even repatriate at all. I'm paying a big premium to come back to the American people. Am I complaining? No.
What is the likelihood, though, the tax from those trillions of dollars won't just end up down a black hole anyway?
I can't stop whatever they do with the taxes. I can only know and control my 65%. Once it goes to the Treasury as an American, as well as you and Marilyn, we have a voice how they spend our money. We thought we had a voice, but apparently we don't count.
All right, let's take a time out. When we come back, we'll get to Pete in Pittsburgh, Christian in L.A., Stan in Denver, Doug in Des Moines, and John in Tampa. You got a line? Hold on to it. Back with more of my conversation with Marilyn Barnwall, the official biographer of the $27.5 trillion man who's also in the House. Coast to Coast AM, stay with us. Welcome back to Coast AM. Richard Serrett here. Say hello on Twitter at Richard Serrett, the website richardserrett.com. And the $27.5 trillion man, Lee Wanta, stays with us, as does his official and exclusive biographer, Marilyn Barnwall, the author of Wanta, Black Swan, White Hat. And again, Marilyn, how do people access this? It's essentially an e-book because there are so many links embedded in there containing court documents and so forth, it would be impossible to publish this as a hardcover book. So it's available online. How do people get a hold of it?
That's right. They can go to Amazon.com and they can input my last name if they want, Barnwall, B-A-R-N-E-W-A-L-L, or they can input the name of the book, Wanta! Black Swan, White Hat. And it will come up, and it'll cost $9.95 that way. Or they can have access to it at no charge at Lee's website, which is http://wantarevelations.com, and just look for the name of the book under the banner and click on it.
All right. Before we get to Pete in Pittsburgh and other callers, Lee, I mean, who at this point is on your side in terms of the current administration that's helping you repatriate this money? Or do you have any friends in Washington?
Well, we have been talking to some senators and some governors. We sent them letters. We have a lot of friends, but they're waiting to see which way the flag's going to go, too, because they know our country is bankrupt. They know there's a lot of shady deals going on, and they're very concerned, but they're more concerned for their family and their future than everybody else's. I'm concerned for everybody's future. I'm 74. This is all I got left.
Given the state of the U.S. economy, and I follow shadow stats, I believe that the real unemployment rate is probably close to 20%. When you look at the number of people on food stamps and the labor participation rate and so forth, inflation is probably, you know, much higher, maybe 10%. We could be staring hyperinflation in the face. At some point, do you think that they're just going to hit the reset button and devalue the currency and sort of inflate the debt away? Or how do you think this is going to play out?
Well, first of all, a dollar is still a dollar, but we don't have a dollar. We have a Federal Reserve note. We got to get rid of the Federal Reserve, stop printing money we don't have, and then we have to pay interest on money that they didn't give away, but they charged us for it anyway. We have to claw back all the money and the bailouts and the stimulus money. And if the banks go under, that's too bad, because they're the ones that take bailout money, buy our treasuries, and they make 2.5%. The money doesn't go to the people. It's just a transaction between their buddies. This is all lawful. It's stupid.
All right,
it's illegal.
Let's go to the wild card line. Christian is in Los Angeles. Christian, welcome to Coast. Good morning.
Hey, guys. Good morning. Hello, Richard. Hello, guests.
Good morning.
I want to put my 25 cents in. I also have a question for you as well. I'm 30 years old, or 39 years old, excuse me. And I've seen that ever since 2008, when the economy and the middle class collapsed, it frightens me. This is what's happened to the country. People just don't feel good anymore. And it's like a lot of people have just lost hope with the country. And it's sad. I mean, the Federal Reserve is unconstitutional. It's been running this country for over 100 years. I feel that one big step to take this country back to the way the founding fathers originally intended it is to get rid of the Federal Reserve and the bankers. You know, the bankers are essentially running the country along with corporations. And we, the people, are supposed to be the ones who are supposed to be in control of our destiny, and we are supposed to have the power. And government essentially is supposed to be subservient to us. My question is, to you, sir, with your long years of service in government, do you feel, there was a report that came out recently from Northwest University that essentially says that a cabal is running our country, is running our government, and essentially we're not a democracy. Do you see any light at the end of the tunnel that this country, that we can essentially be pulled back from the abyss? Or is it literally it's too late, that it doesn't matter what we do? Look, the Occupy Wall Street movement floundered. That went nowhere. And it's just a lot of people have just said they're not happy. There's no light at the end of the tunnel. Do you feel that, I mean, our country, we can be pulled back from the abyss? And
great question, Christian. Let's get Lee in there. Thank you. Go ahead, Lee.
It's never too late. We've been working daily, 24/7 on this. We take the Federal Reserve, give it to the Treasury Department, get rid of all the immoral debt, all this bailout money, claw it all back, grab it from the banks. That means we're probably only 5T of national debt. If you knew how many private people got that, received funds that were unlawfully given, they weren't, and then we have to pay interest on it, we would be able to at least have only a national debt of 5T. If I got my 15T clear and you got the taxes from the upper 15, I'll make a difference. I'll get it down to zero. I don't mind doing that because I work for all of us. I don't work for some political game or a party. There's no difference between a Democrat and Republican. But we can save our country, which is a great nation, and serve under the Constitutional Republic and abort all these laws that were illegally created. People in Congress, the lobbyists control Congress, and the staff controls the senators and the House of Representatives. The staff is the brainchild, and whatever the lobbyists decide, that's what they get. Under Reagan, lobbyists could not give you any money. You were required to do like a white paper or a booklet that everybody would read it, including the public. There was no hanky-panky going on. They don't like to hear that, but all these people are rich working for us.
All right, Kristen in L.A.
We are the employer.
Kristen in L.A., thank you for the call. Stan is in Denver on the wild card line. Hello, Stan. Welcome to Coast. Good morning.
Hello. Thank you. And I think George Norrie did fine putting you on the air.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
Hello, Ambassador Wanta.
Good morning.
And he was your Canadian ambassador, right? I have a few questions, and I'm glad Juan came on first because that's a great segue for my questions. I watch a lot of documentaries, and a lot of them turn out that anything, it started out with Neil Bush, and I'm just wondering, it's my opinion, that why aren't the Bushes in jail by now? They all are so crooked, and the evidence is right staring us in the face.
All right. Well, again, I have to caution you about, you know, throwing terms like that around. We can have allegations, but, you know, we have to be responsible on the airwaves as well. However, let me get Lee and Marilyn to respond to that.
Well, I think one important thing, Stan, is that Lee was in Denver investigating Neil Bush. So he's very aware of a lot of what you're talking about. and Lee, I'm sure you can.
Yeah, we have never given up hope, never. We have charged these people. We had Treasury investigations, internal affairs on George Bush Sr. And we have always fought these guys. The trouble is the people that help us investigate, they get kicked out of their employment too because they control the purse strings. If you're not part of them, you're out of here, mister.
What is odious debt, Marilyn? What does
odious debt
mean?
That's a good question. In fact, I would encourage everybody who's listening to look up odious debt and immoral debt. And I wrote an article about that I don't remember who I wrote it for. But basically, it's unconstitutional debt would be the best way to translate it. And your third caller made a good point. The Federal Reserve System is an unlawful agency that is a private corporation. I'm sure your listeners know that. That is not in any way federal. That Article 1, Section 8 of the Constitution of the United States gives the responsibility for the money, the debt, the coinage, everything to the United States Congress. They may have passed the Federal Reserve Act. They do not have the authority to change the Constitution without a vote of the people and an amendment being added to the Constitution. Therefore, anything that has been created in the way of debt, Richard, by the Federal Reserve System can be considered unlawful. It is immoral, in other words, because it is unconstitutional. They did not
have
the right
to consider it. It's a fact.
Generate that debt.
All right. West of the Rockies, Doug is in Des Moines, Washington. Doug, welcome. Good morning. Are you there, Doug? Doug in Des Moines, going once, going twice. All right, let's move over to the first-time caller line. John is in Tampa Bay, Florida this morning. Welcome to Coast, John.
Thank you, Richard. I'd like to ask the ambassador a question. If he does get the money back and it's available to him, why can't he back a third party with righteous people like Jesse Ventura and Russ Feingold so that America could actually vote for somebody who isn't attached to the international bankers and the military-industrial complex to bring America back to the righteous state that it was before John Kennedy was assassinated. And then I have a second question, if I can get it in.
All right, Lee.
Well, I'm not a politician, and the Democrats and Republicans are the same party. So a third party would get beat up by these guys, because remember, they used to say who counts the votes wins the election.
All right, John, you had a second question?
The rules that a third party will never get in.
Okay, John, a quick second question.
The last question was whether or not he might be considering giving any money to Switzerland's righteous king, whose power was usurped in the 15th century, and that way we would get rid of the international bankers that are controlling the military-industrial complex. That's Switzerland's king.
I didn't know anything about a Swiss king, but the military-industrial complex, President Reagan wanted to get rid of them a long time ago.
All right. Thank you for the call, John, in Tampa Bay. Lee, what I mean, obviously, you know, I can't delve too deeply into this because, you know, your security is important. But what is your status? I mean, do you have a permanent residence in the United States, or are you sort of a nomad?
No, I'm a permanent resident of Austria. They kidnapped me. I've been renditioned. And to leave this country would be wrong. They've dragged me back in chains and shackles for crimes that never occurred. They offered me a pardon, a full pardon, to give me $250,000. How can you be pardoned for a crime that never happened in a court that had no jurisdiction?
Are you safe? I mean, do you still feel this sword of Damocles over you? Are you safe?
I worry all the time. I pray all the time. But I remember the Sisters of Notre Dame when I went to parochial school. They assured me and the rest of my classmates, I'll never die before my time as well as them. And I take them at their word.
Is part of the reason that you haven't met face-to-face with your official biographer, Marilyn, is because you fear that people that sort of come in contact with you, their lives would be in peril?
Absolutely. She is very important to our country. And for me to be near her or anybody right now, they're going to say, aha, that's part of his team. They're the bad guys because they want to save the country. Well, we got to be careful.
Marilyn, I just have a couple minutes here. I don't want to leave anything on the table. What haven't I asked you, that you think is important to say?
Oh, I think you've asked wonderful questions. I think your callers have asked wonderful questions, with one exception. But basically, this is a hard story to tell. It's a hard story to understand. I hope people will read it, because the secret to the whole thing, to solving all these problems, to go back to your Los Angeles caller, Richard, is, you know, people have a responsibility. A lot of what's going wrong now is not just the fault of government. It's the fault of the apathy of the people. We let it happen. My generation, Lee's 74, I'm 77, and we let it happen, and that's why I'm fighting as hard as I can. You know, state banks is part of the answer. There are solutions. We need to be looking into implementing state banks in every state in the United States. Cut off the head of the Federal Reserve by keeping state tax dollars in the state.
All right, listen, I got to run, but what a great pleasure to speak and meet you, Lee Wanta, and Marilyn.
My pleasure. Thank you so much.
Thank you for spending the evening with us.
My pleasure.
My thanks to Lisa Lyon, George Nori, Chris Boros, Stephanie Smith, Brian Opry, Gina Selvati, Tim Binal, and here in our AM640 studios, Gord Harris, Scott Guest, and Laura Taylor. And thank you all for listening at home. Thank you. Thank you for your ears. Good night.